You know that my favorite topic is the difference between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. And it means so much to me because it was a revelation God gave me. I never read it anywhere. I read books on the New Covenant by Andrew Murray, David Wilkerson. But I never saw it because it wasn't there. And I read it even after I saw it, and I found you can't get it. You can read that. You can take those books and read it. You won't get it. Then I came to see, like Peter, the Lord told Peter when he saw Christ as the Son of the Living God, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I've seen through the years in different CFC churches that there are many brothers who feel they've understood the New Covenant, but they haven't. Because it has not become a revelation. When we are clever, we can grasp certain things like mathematics and chemistry, and those things are fine. We can solve those problems. But the truths of God can only be understood by revelation. And there's only one type of person to whom God gives revelation. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Revelation, by the way, is a New Testament word. You don't find it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the word is knowledge, understanding. You look at the book of Proverbs, you read about knowledge and understanding. Revelation is a New Testament word. In Matthew 11, it says in verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have given revelation to babies. I remember reading that when I was trying to study the Bible. And I said, Lord, it looks as if I've missed it, because I was born intelligent. I didn't make myself intelligent. Intelligence is something you're born with. Einstein was born intelligent. He didn't make himself. But all of us are born with a certain level of intelligence. I was born intelligent. I can't take any credit for it. And I said, Lord, how will I ever get understanding of your word now? Is it only babies who understand? And the Lord really opened my eyes to see something. That the main thing about a baby, you remember Jesus said that in Luke, Matthew 18. If you humble yourself as a baby, 18:4, whoever then humbles himself as a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the main thing in a child is humility. You don't see it, but it's a humility which, I've very often looked at a child in a cradle and says, that child is not having high thoughts about itself. It's not thinking how pretty I am and how much people admire me. And it's not puffed up if somebody says you're very beautiful. It's completely unaffected by the praise of people who come and admire it and say all types of things. Completely unaffected. That's humility. Completely unaffected by anything people say to appreciate or praise. And I'll be thankful for what they say, but it doesn't make me think that I'm any better than I am. That's a baby. And it's so helpless. That's the other part of its humility, that it doesn't mind acknowledging that I can't do anything. I need my mom and dad to do every single thing for me. That's pretty humiliating, you know. when people get older, they feel a bit humiliated that they're dependent on others for this thing and that thing and the other thing. And that's because they are older people. But a child is never feels humiliated or humbled that mommy and daddy have got to do everything for me. Feed me, clothe me, take me to the restroom and everything. And the child never feels humiliated by it. That's humility. It takes a long while to get there. But I saw that, so we can read this like this, that God reveals his truths to the humble. So the wise and intelligent people in the world are invariably proud. It's very rare to find an intelligent person who is genuinely humble. It has to be a wholehearted Christian. An intelligent person who's become a wholehearted Christian will be humble. All the others, every single person I've met in my life is proud. And even a lot of Christians who are intelligent are pretty proud of the fact that they can understand it better and they can explain it better and they know better and they're smarter than that other guy down there. I've seen that in India, different believers, even in CFC churches. It's very, very difficult to not compare ourselves with others, sometimes unconsciously. So it's a battle. And that's why we get so little revelation. But if you fight that battle and determine to go down, revelation will come. And that's how we really understand the new covenant. And how do we, what's the difference between knowledge and revelation? Knowledge is something we can be proud of. Revelation you can never be proud of. It'll humble you. That's a big difference. Knowledge makes you proud. Revelation humbles you. And the other thing is, knowledge is something we can explain to others. And we love to explain it to others. We are happy when people got what my explanation. But revelation is something you say, well, I can't explain it. I can share what I see in the Word of God. God's got to give you revelation. If he gives it to you, if you're humble, you'll get it. If you're not humble, you can sit and listen to it for ages and you can keep on listening to the tapes. You won't get it. It's not by constant listening. It's not by using our brain. It's by humility. It's got to do with the heart more than the mind. And then he goes on to say, in verse 29, if you want to learn humility, learn it from me. There are two people you can learn humility from a child and from Jesus. So it means that Jesus' attitude on earth was like that of a child. And I saw in my life how this is how I'm supposed to live. It's a pretty helpless way of living. You know, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In John 15, verse 5. That means nothing of eternal value. John 15, 5. Apart from me, there are a million things you can do because you're smart, you're clever, you're capable, you're qualified, you've got degrees and you've got all types of things, but you will never be able to do one single thing that lasts for eternity. Not one single thing that will last for eternity through your life if it is not in helpless dependence on Jesus Christ in prayer and seeking for his power. Let me tell you that clearly. It has come to me more clearly only after many years. I wish somebody had taught me this when I was a young man. I never had a spiritual father, as I've often said. I had to struggle and find these things out myself. But I'm glad I found it. That nothing I do without helpless dependence on the Lord is ever going to last in eternity. It'll impress a lot of undiscerning people, and most Christians are undiscerning. So they'll be very impressed by what I've done, but God's not impressed. He says, anything that you have done apart from Christ is zero. That's the meaning of John 15, 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And what you think you have done is zero.